Good morning, 10:13 a.m. Friday, May the 5th, 2017. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I missed the last 3 days in a row. My hips are telling me, hey, you missed the last 3 days in a row. I mostly had good reasons. Yesterday was impossible. Yesterday was just impossible. For the last 3 days, I've been prioritizing writing over walking because I've been trying to... The first of the days, Tuesday. Tuesday was just a slimy day. I didn't want to go out. Yesterday and the day before, I was writing. I'm 9,000 words into Suicide Run, and I haven't written a word yet today because I got up late. And I have been behind all day long. I should have been out here walking around 8. I said here it is 10. But I didn't get up till 7. I needed the sleep. I really needed the sleep. I've been staying up till 10, getting up at 4. It's not enough sleep. It doesn't do me any good at all to be up and awake if I'm running that big a sleep debt over the course of a couple of weeks. So this morning when the cats tried to get me up at 4 o'clock, I got the spray bottle out and dissuaded them of that particular path. And I went back to bed and slept until, well, it was after 7. I think it was like 7:20 or something before I crawled out. So I didn't get my words in. I did get breakfast. Had to wait till the wife got up. But I did get breakfast. Speaking of breakfast, yesterday I had breakfast with Dave Robison and his lovely wife, Terry. We had an hour between various demands on each of our times. He's here visiting family. I was honored to be included in that group. And now we had a lovely breakfast. My first essay into restaurant diabetic eating. Well, it didn't work out too badly, I think. The problem I had yesterday was that I was completely out of test strips. So I couldn't test glucose. I got strips tested this morning. I'm actually in the acceptable range this morning for the first time in several days. So I'm taking that as a good sign. The stuff that I'm doing is working. It's not working 100%. It's not working reliably yet, but it's working. It's only been a couple of weeks, so I don't know what I expected. The book is going. Book is going well. I haven't got the... I was hoping to get an Amazon email blast, but maybe Monday. They put a science fiction list out on Monday, Tuesday. They are recommending my book for me, so I don't know if they're recommending it to everybody else, but they're at least recommending it to me. Which is... which is a little dumb. It's... I'm glad they're doing it. I'm happy they're doing it. But one would think that since the email address that the EPUB is published under is the same one I have registered for my e-reader, they would know enough not to include that in messages that it gets sent to me. I already have it. I'll have to go into the recommendations and set the little flag that says I already own this. I don't want to do it until they're done pimping it for me, so. There's that. Suicide Run's coming together. I'm almost 10,000 words, 6 chapters in. the story. I have no idea where the suicide part comes in. I may have to change the title. When I get done, I may have to change the title. Because I like the story. The story that's going is... this is pretty cool. This is a good story. This is a couple of years after Milk Run. And Natalia and Zoya are still trying to make a go of the Peregrine. I almost called it the Phoenix. And I like the story. I like where it's going. It's got the right feel to it. Well, at least starting out, we'll see if it maintains or I second guess myself into oblivion. Part of the effort, if I haven't mentioned it before, the effort is a group of us from Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers have got together this month to write 4,000 words a day for 25 days. And with any luck, we'll each be leaving the period with either 100,000 words or a completed manuscript. So I'm good with those. I'm good with those criteria. I don't need to win. This is just a question of I've got four or five people who are also trying to write 4,000 words a day. Most of us are working toward 5,000 words a day. I only got 4,000 the first day, but I got 5,000 yesterday. So 9,000 and change for the manuscript as it sits at the moment. This is Friday. I don't have to do anything in particular. I do have to make a run out around noon, but I've got the afternoon and evening pretty much cleared away. I need to find 10 minutes for my meditation, 12 minutes for my meditation. Ideally, I would have done that already, except I was looking at typo reports, I was looking at the Facebook group, I was conversing with Podium. Apparently, Jeffrey's first available date is August, so it'll be a while before the Audible book shows up. By then I should have, if I keep on going, I should have Suicide Run pretty much ready to go and be working on By Darkness Forged. There's a lot of talk about, and I'm going to assume that everybody who's listening has read the book at this point, so there may be spoilers. No, there's almost assuredly going to be spoilers. There's a lot of confusion about Bev's role in the story. Hello. And what role she's going to play going forward. And my base assumption is none. There are people who want to know what was going on in Telluride, except that that's already in the book. I mean, I could spell it out. I could spoon-feed it and rub the nose in, but it's already in the book. Granted, it's supposition. Granted, it's not stated baldly. But it is in the book. It is there. The pieces are there to put together. And I've always trusted readers to put the pieces together. And I may have been a little bit too obscure in this title. I'm wondering how that's going to affect future stories. It's like, okay, it's pretty clear. And even the beta feedback on the last chapter was mixed. It was like some people really liked it. Some people liked the fact that I didn't actually spell things out. So enough people didn't that I went back and started spelling things out. And apparently that wasn't sufficient. Say it with me, Monk Post. That wasn't sufficient for some portion of the readership who really did not like the fact that they turned the page and the story was over as Brill was coming off the shuttle. And I really don't know. I really don't know what to do about that. Because and here's the problem. The story is Ishmael's story. The story is Ishmael's story. It's not Beverly's story. It's not Brill's story. It's Ishmael's story. And Ishmael's story ended in chapter 48, maybe 47. That was the end of Ishmael's story in this book. That was it. And everything after that, including perhaps the conversation with the chief in chapter 48, that was denouement. That was letting you down easy. I was tying off loose ends, and apparently I didn't tie off enough loose ends. Somebody on Facebook asked, did you have to end it there? The answer is no, actually I didn't. I should have ended it the chapter before, but people complained about that. And in the original beta version, the last line of chapter 48 was, so you were about to tell me why we had to go to Port Lumino. I have never had any intention of actually going to Port Lumino, not in this book. We might be there yet. But by the time that line hit, everybody should have known what Port Lumino is. You might not be quite clear on who owns it, who runs it. Should know who Pip really works for. It's not Waters. You should know the chief's role, although where she falls in any kind of hierarchy is still up for grabs. And Ishmael is not healed yet. So there's a lot of Ishmael's story that is still yet to be told. But the journey that he had to take in order to be ready to go back to see Mal Gaines ended as soon as they jumped out of Telluride. That really was the end of Ishmael's story. Other than, you know, explaining what happened and what was going to happen and what did happen. And there may be a typo, because the last chapter is supposed to be 3 months after, not 2 months after. And I said, saw somebody make a note about that today, that it was actually 2 months after the previous chapter. And I don't, as possible, because I'm terrible with calendars unless I have them laid out in front of me and I could count them on my fingers. But still, 2 months. Yeah, 2 months is a little bit short, but remember what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a setup, basically. And the people who did the setup were waiting. All they needed was green for go. So I'm not exactly sure. I apparently did not do a good enough job of setting the story up so that that ending didn't surprise people. I'm not exactly sure. Well, I do know why. It's because every other science fiction space opera book, they always have the actual fight. They always show the big bad being butchered. And Ishmael won that fight when he jumped away. He's never going to win that fight by fighting it. He's never going to win that fight by getting his own missile locks or killing a bunch of other people. It's not Ishmael Wong. He's a merchant. He's not a naval officer. He's not flying a battleship. He's flying a freighter. And nothing that happened in that 2 months, other than docking at Lumino, dropping to the can, and then jumping over to Port Newmar, nothing that happened in those 2 months involved Ishmael or his story or anybody else that was in this book. I would have had to write separate point of view, and I had to write a whole little sub-story within the story to make that work. Good morning. So the reality of it is that the story is the story that I meant to tell. The final battle was over before Ishmael talked to the chief. The final battle of this story. And I understand that people want to know, oh, really? How did they do that? What did they say? Well, it's in the book. It's not spelled out, which I think is how I started this rant. It's not spelled out. It's in the book. It's an offhand comment that Pip made to Ishmael. And yeah, I could write a scene. Maybe I will write a scene about Brill and Ishmael getting together in the next book. It feels cheaty. Maybe I'll publish a new edition and put an extra chapter at the end just for the people who are heartbroken that the boring meeting, the meeting that everybody has built up into being something, is going to be a couple of friends having beers and talking about people that nobody else knows. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Brill might have a clue that Ishmael can use for the next piece of the puzzle, the next step in the journey. So basically, by and large, for the most part, and I don't mean to sound like I'm disappointed by the response the book has gotten. What I'm actually doing is going through and thinking, okay, how could I have done this better? What what might I have done differently that would have resulted in a different reaction? And I don't really know, because the stories have always been about Ishmael. The stories have always been about Ishmael and what he's doing, what is going on in his head. And while the cast of characters, the crew, has always played a role in that, one of the difficulties in this book is that he's still dealing. In fact, perhaps for the first time ever, dealing with the events that happened in Onarshar. That everything that he did in Ash is Born was sort of him being swept along before he's even really processed what's happened. And in Fire, he's now having to deal with it. He's now having to process it. He's now having to come back to it and figure out how his life needs to go from now on. So the people who are upset that we don't have the same sort of repartee between the captain and the crew, but still think I did a good job showing his PTSD and depression and trauma. Those two things are not compatible. That's the problem. You can't actually show those two things together, because one is a person who's healthy and one is a person who's not, and they don't intersect very well. I'm hoping they're going to intersect better in the next book, but we'll see. At any rate, I'm standing here in the driveway talking to myself. So let me just say, tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.